Good afternoon, dear friend. Today is 18th of June, the year 2011, and we are on the third day of the health retreat in Nuthurst Town in England. This morning, we already have opportunity to learn about the art of cooking, eating, drinking, and sleeping. And this afternoon, we will continue to the art of breathing. Everyone seems to know how to breathe from the time when we out of our mother placenta. But correctly, not many of us really aware about our breath. The reason because it has automatically, and we are living on most of the time in forgetfulness. That's why we usually don't pay attention much to our breath, and as a consequence of that, most of the time we are losing ourselves in despair, in weariness, in angry, when we are in a situation where we cannot control or come back to ourselves. But if we practice mindfulness, especially the mindful breathing, we learn step by step how to make friends, how to recognize the changing in our breath. You will have capacity to realize how important and how your breath can help you to improve your health as well as improve your practice. Usually, we breathe in or breathe out. We think it can go to our lung, that maximum, according to the modern medical system. But actually, that's not really true. Because if we can breathe in and breathe out to the bottom of our lung only, so how can the energy or the heat flow evenly to the rest of our body?
I don't think it's okay. There's no light.
So actually, if we just pay attention to our nose, and we think that the maximum we can breathe in or out to the bottom of our lung only, it is not enough. Because think about that. We have two main system, the circulation system carry our blood, include nutrition and oxygen and many other substance to organ and cell, the extremity and everywhere from internally to externally in our body. Whatever out there in the nature, the liquid and the water, we consider that the inorganic water, right? And then that inorganic water, when we water the plant, the vegetable, the tree, the fruit, and after we collect on that, when we eat or when we juice it out, that liquid is the second level. We consider that the organic juice, right? Even though it's still water and it adds on with some ingredient in the soil, in the air. But the second level of liquid now become organic juice. And then when we intake, when we bring that organic juice into our body, if for some reason our intestinal wall cannot accept that to pass it through from the inside of the our GI tract into the bloodstream, you got that right? So we still don't have a nutrition to nourish our body. But when it passed through the intestinal wall into the bloodstream, that means it goes from the second level to the third level. And by the time when it gets into the bloodstream, into the circulation, our circulation has to be the closed circuit, complete closed circuit. It had to go everywhere throughout our body, from the top of our head to the bottom, to the our feet, our finger, our toe. For any reason, if that circulation system be broken, that means it leaked. We have an internal bleeding or external bleeding. That means that circulation system now be broken or leaked. We had a problem. We be weak. We be sick. So it had to go through three different levels. And the final, the third level, had to be the closed circuit. And it had to flow evenly throughout our body, from the internally to externally, to the top to the bottom, everywhere. So it had to be the same thing for the air or for the heat. The air out there in the natural, in the environment, that is inorganic air. When we breathe in, we bring that into our lung. Even though maximum we can breathe according to the modern medical system anatomy, the bottom of our lung maximum. And in there, it do the exchange between oxygen and carbon dioxide. And now it convert that inorganic air become organic air. But it's still only the second level, you see. And where is the third level? Because it is invisible. So the modern Western system cannot detect, and we get stuck right there. That's why in Chinese system, they have a 12 main meridian, and they have a two big freeway, the front and the back. But that's still not enough. When the air from the second level in our lung, after it do the exchange oxygen and carbon dioxide, now it look like the same thing like the nutrition in the food we eat into our stomach, in our GI tract. It has to penetrate through the GI tract to get into the blood circulation. And when it gets into the blood circulation, it enters the third level. And when it enters the third level, it has to be a complete circuit. And a complete circuit has to flow evenly and throughout our body. You see? So the same thing has to be happen for the air. That's why when we sit for meditation, or when we do walking meditation, we usually let our attention in the point below our umbilical cord. And the medical term for that is the energy complex. Our energy center. It usually down here. So when we breathe in, even though the second layer, the second level, it can go to the bottom of our lung only. But with our attention concentrate down here, it will help to bring from the second level into the third level. And after that, it has to go through the back of our spinal cord, through the top of our head, and come back. And that must be a closed circuit. And from that, it spreads out, and it penetrates, it connects to other energy channels, and what we call the meridian. And all of that 12 meridians have to send the heat or the air throughout our body, from the top of our head to the tip of our toe. So that's why if we don't have that concept, we will say that we are an imbalanced person. Because the heat is the one to lead our blood to go. Like in the nature, if we don't have air movement, we don't have the wind. And without wind, without the movement of the air, we don't have the flow in the ocean. We don't have the existence of the living being. So the same thing in the tiny universe at our body. The heat flowing will lead the blood flowing. And the blood flowing will carry nutrition, oxygen, and other substance to the internal organ, as well as all of the cells in our body. Therefore, the slower, the deeper, the better. It has enough time to penetrate from the second layer to the third layer, and it have enough time to carry all of the nutrition to the place where our body needs, and it take it back all of the byproduct, all of the toxin to discard. And as we see in the picture, it accepts when we eating and talking, the rest of our time, we should maintain the tip of our tongue touch the upper palate, because of the two main freeways, the front and the back. That is the two main freeways of the our heat energy. It have a two river or two hole at the bottom. That is our anal, and on the top is our buckle or our mouth area, our throat. So the tip of our tongue will connect, make the bridge to connect between the one in the back and the one in front on the top. And down here, our anal will make the connection between the front and the back and together. And then I recommend to breathe by nose, not by mouth, because in our nose we have many tiny hair play a role at the filter to filter all of the dust, the bacteria, the virus, or any foreign substance in the air, in the environment, not useful for our body. But also, our nose will have a capacity as the air conditioner system, because the sinus, all of the sinus connect between our nose, our cheek, our front forehead, and the ear area. It connects all together. In this area, before the air gets into the lung, the heat or the temperature in our body will move up here to help make the new air from outside perfectly close to the condition our body needs, as well as the humidity. They have to make it as close as possible to the condition in our lung. If we breathe in by mouth, we don't have the filter to block the dust, the pollen, the bacteria, so it's easy to get infection, upper respiratory infection. And also, because in our mouth we have a saliva, so the moisture or the humidity higher than in our lung. So if we breathe in by mouth, we usually feel cold if we don't know how to breathe correctly. That's why normally we should breathe in by nose and breathe out by nose too, because when we breathe out, the outflow air will put out whatever stuff in the hair in our nose. It also brings the humidity, the moisture, and the temperature in our lung up to this cavity to do its job for the new air flow outside in. Accept when we do exercise, when we start sitting meditation, we breathe in by nose and we breathe out by mouth, because we want to push out as fast and as much as possible the bad air in our lung and in our body, and we want it go out more and faster. So that's why we exhale by mouth. The rest are normally we breathe in and breathe out by nose. But at the bottom, you see we have some special techniques. Breathe in or out just by one nose only. Or we breathe in and breathe out and we contemplate. We imagine certain image or certain color or certain situation. We breathe in and out by mouth only, not by nose. This is only for the therapy, not for the regularly condition, because it contradicts to whatever we just learned. So in what situation we should breathe in by one nose? If you can pay attention closely, you will see that our nose working totally different. It's not working at the same rate for the left and for the right, because the weather outside it changes continually. Our mental formation, our condition, our body condition, it changes all the time. The left nose is more slow, it's more cooling down, it's more peaceful. The right nose is more active. That's why when we exercise a lot, when we do heavy work, when we aggressive, we will see that our right nose working more than our left nose. When we sit still, when we our mental formation quiet, when we are in a peaceful state, or when we are in the depressive state, we will see our left nose it working more than our right nose. That's why we can take that application at the therapy when we have a condition. For example, early in the morning or whenever you expose to a cold air and you feel cold, you feel have no energy, you feel depressed, you feel tired, you can hold your left nose and breathe in and breathe out by your right nose only for 5 to 10 minutes. You will see your body will a little bit warmer, a little bit active, more active and more energy. On the other hand, if we have a feeling of headache, overheat, tired, aggressive, or high blood pressure, we can hold our right nose and breathe in and out by our left nose for about 10 minutes. Breathe in and out, combine to contemplate on certain object or any topic, any color. This technique originate from the old time by yogi, and Buddha applied that in the way of concentration to help the mind be more concentrated as well as liberation. And now you see, not only in the relationship, people apply this one, but in healthcare, the healthcare personnel, healthcare professional applied it one for many patients too. For example, when we sitting for relaxation, at the first 3 breath, we usually breathe in by nose and breathe out by mouth, right? And when we breathe in, we imagine or we contemplate that we bring in all of the new fresh air, all the happiness, all the active from the air into our body to nourish our body. And on the exhale, we contemplate that all of the obstacle, unhappiness, sickness, worriness, everything negative, we just let it go out with the out breath, right? So that we usually contemplate. For people in the poor land, they do contemplate on Amitabha, on Bodhisattva, or for Christian, they contemplate on the Mother Maria, on Jesus, on God. So depend on the religion, the object for contemplation were different. In the old time, or right now in India, many different schools still apply that. Or even though in martial art, people still contemplate that. Because we can say that like self-hypnotic, we think when we breathe in, we think that we take in, we bring in all the energy. Or when at certain height we are the healthy, strong, good shape, and for some reason we are going downhill. So we look back at our picture in the past, at the time when we are in good shape, in a good condition, and we imagine that, okay, every day we contemplate, we look at that picture, and when we breathe in, we just think that we bring in all of the positive energy, and we will go back to build up our body, physical condition, as well as the energy, the spiritual, the mental state to that level. So day by day, the condition will come back. Depend on how concentrate we practice. People can training their mind by that technique. Like you see yogi, they can use the mind power to grind the big stone into the powder. They can lay down flat on the floor and then left the tank a few ton went by, still no problem. They still can stay in a coffin and be dig and put down in the under the ground for many days, many months, and they still alive. That are that training based on the power of our mind and the contemplation. And we already learned about four different kinds of nutriment, right? From the third level of volition and the fourth level of consciousness, especially my consciousness. When we think or when we concentrate enough, the power of our mind can maintain or can reshape whatever we want to do. And when they contemplate the water, the wave in the ocean, a successful meditator, yogi, when he sit in this room, if he contemplate and hit my power strong enough, when we open the door or when we look outside the glass window, we can see in this room not the empty room but all of the big wave lying in the ocean. When the yogi contemplate on the color, the same thing. At first, they can have a one circle or one point of certain color, and they concentrate on that point until that point it becomes bigger, bigger, and bigger. Not only in one dimension or two dimensions, now it becomes the whole room. The color become cover all of his body. Because our mind power very strong, and when he concentrate on that color, that means he send energy to collect all of the frequency or the wavelength of that color from the universe. Look like we have a few hundred channels in the air right now. But if you just want to listen to BBC channel and you turn on to that exactly channel and you can hear the BBC voice only. You cannot hear any other voice. But if you want to listen to a friend channel and you concentrate and select to that channel, you can hear the new in the friend channel only, not the other. A yogi when concentrate and immersion to certain color, he will collect and extract the wavelength of that color in the universe, and by mechanism light extracted alive, all of the wavelength of that certain color be collect and be preserved in that environment. And it not only can change the person in that environment, it can help to convert all our conditions surrounding. And medical application for that technique, because as we know, certain wavelength from the color and certain sound decibel, it have a certain benefit for therapy. For example, we have 7 colors so far the human being eyes can receive. From red, orange, yellow, green, blue, to brown, to purple. So we already know that it's from very young to very young. So if a person, for example, he feels depressed, chilly, and cold, sick, a doctor may let her contemplate on the orange or red color because that's more yang. So if she concentrates strong enough, successful enough, not need to convert all of the surrounding area in her room become the red color, but just one spot, now it become bigger and bigger, and that energy, that wavelength, can convert her mind condition and her body condition, so she will feel more energy, will feel warmer. On the contrary, when a person is too aggressive, too violent, we may use the white color, we may use the blue color, or we may use the light green color to help to calm that person down. So medical application use the color and the sound to help the patient in that way. But mainly, actually, had to base on the meditation, the concentration. The other application just a secondary of mechanism like abstracted and like only, but mainly the benefit will be from the concentration. If the patient mind cannot concentrate, there will be no effect, you see. And then when we should breathe in and out by mouth or holding breath, when we are living in the cold condition or in high altitude, we should practice this one. When we breathe in and out by mouth, the air moving in and out will be faster and the volume will be higher. That's why the oxygen can bring in more, the toxin can be put out more. And when the toxin moving in more, the blood circulation will be faster. And as we know, one of the function of the red blood cell is carry the energy to the body side. So when we breathe in and out by mouth, the movement of the air faster, the movement of the blood in the circulation will faster, and it brings the energy to the side, especially the extremity. The same thing when we hold our breath, that means we use the pressure to put it from internally to externally, and to from the top down to the bottom of our energy complex or energy center. That's why our body will feel more energy and the temperature is right up to protect for our organ or our body during the cold weather. So all of this one just apply in certain time, certain condition only. We should not abuse. And the other application for in and out by mouth, and now they use a lot in medical for people have a stroke or numbness or weakness a portion of the patient body. Because when patient have a weakness or stroke, that means a portion of patient bodies don't have enough blood flow or oxygen. If we breathe in and out by nose, the oxygen carry in will be slow, not enough, and the toxin be pushed out slow. So in that situation, a nurse will help to direct the patient breathe in maximum really fast by mouth. Contemplate that, bring in all the air, all the nutrition and the thought through the body to the side where the patient body have a weakness or stroke, and also contemplate that the muscle in that section be relaxed as much as possible to let the oxygen penetrate deeply into the muscle to the cell. And when the patient blow out, had to be by mouth, and the muscle in that area had to be contract to help push out the toxin, the blockage, and any bad substance throw out to the out breath by mouth. You see, so the same technique, the same principle, we want to bring in more and more and faster. And when we blow out, we want to exhale faster and push out more dead air or more bad substance. Combined with contemplate that, relax the muscle in that area and contract muscle when the patient blow out. So that technique that apply a lot for the stroke patient now. So in conclusion, so far all the normal activity in daily life, if we learn how to eat simple, and the food we eat as fresh as possible, as simple as possible, we don't use much stimulant, ingredient, additive, we will have a healthy state. If we not drinking in the middle of the meal, we drink more in the morning, drink less at night, and try to sip one at a time and leave it in our mouth as long as possible. So we don't need much water. The lifespan of kidney, lung, and our heart will be prolonged. Talking, we minimize only when we need, so we can save our energy, our heat, and less the all the circle. Our circuit be closed and the air can flow evenly. By sleeping, we should sleep early and wake up early. 6 hours at night or 5 hours at night supposed to be enough for people above 60. And if possible, we may have a 30-minute or 45-minute break at lunchtime. We should do relaxation or meditation 30 minutes to an hour in the morning. Breathing as slow, as deep as possible. Exercise. We should select the kind of exercise fit to our condition. And if we can have a 20 to 30 minutes twice a day, that is perfect. And minimum 5 days per week. And when we have a more time, when we want to have a stronger muscle, more durable, we can add on another technique. And last but not least, our body very, very complicated, very dirty. So we should spend some time, at least 7 days to 10 days, to let it have a break and clean up our internal house. Because if we see our room or our house only a few months, if we not organize, not clean up, it's very dirty, right? And now our internal house is smaller, it's much more complicated. And for 30 years, 50 years, 60 years, we don't have a time to think about that, to clean up. So it gets stuck, a lot of no good substance, a lot of blockage in there. So if we have time, or if we already have some sickness, some condition, we should practice fasting for purification at least 7 to 10 days every year. Some people, they cannot do that, and I recommend 1 day per week, usually weekend for people still working. But even though when you do so, you have 52 weeks in a year. So if you follow that schedule perfectly, you have 52 days in a year. The benefit still less compared to you have only one time 10 days. Only one fifth of the other technique. But the benefit is deeper, because the longer the fast, the deeper the purification. And as you see, our gastrointestinal tract, it's very complicated. And if we cannot clean up this system, even though we try to use other techniques to purify our blood circulation or our lung, it still not benefit much, because the toxic gradient, it's high in here and it's low in the bloodstream. Slowly, okay, it will go in again. The only thing helpful for cleanse up the whole body, we have to do in this. And this one is much easier, because we can control, we can do it on a daily basis. If we know how to select the food we eat, we know how to do the purification correctly. And majority of the sickness, the illness, start from here. Tomorrow we will learn how to recognize all our waste product, and then we will modify our diet, exercise, or massage to correct the problem. But purification very important for nowadays, because we have too many toxins everywhere, and for too long our body didn't have opportunity to clean up by itself. Now it accumulates a lot in our system. As you see on the board, we have four different levels of our brain waves. The first one, the beta, you see the dark and the dark one. The dark one, that means for people when their mind is so active during the daytime, they not really mindful, not concentrate, so their way, brain way, it very, very fast. So the two phase in the reality that we already study, the bigger the right phase, the bigger the left phase. So if during the daytime, if our brain wave is too active, whenever we sit down, it will fall into a sleep right away, because it be stimulated too much, it's too tired. So when we let it free, or we sit down quietly, we fall into sleep right away. When we fall into sleep, it becomes unconscious, and we cannot train our mind. We cannot change or transform our bad habit energy. So, for the practitioner, know how to control or observe our mind, it can be slower, can be quieter. So when we practice that during the daytime, if we have opportunity to sit down in relaxation, it almost matching, and it just gets slower and slower until the next level. This is the deep concentration and almost subconsciousness. It no longer be attached to the object in the external world, and it not dropped down to the sleeping state of totally unconsciousness. So this is the benefit of the deep relaxation or deep meditation. This state marks the hypnotic therapy help us to maintain in this state for treatment any psychotic problem. And then this is also the state the Buddha first acquired when he practiced sitting meditation after 49 days. When his mind quiet and clear enough, he can see the past life of himself and all other beings. It's the same thing we can experience that. For example, when you get ready to leave your home for work, you have the key in your hand or maybe in your wallet. in your pocket. But if you not concentrate, unmindful, and you forget, and the more you try to go around looking for that, the more you cannot find that, the more you get stuck, until you feel so tired and you sit and let it go. By that time, okay, your brain wave no longer be stimulated. Now, okay, it relaxed. When it relaxed, and it become more clear, and you can remember, oh, I put it in the pocket, on the wallet, on the couch somewhere. You remember right away. See, so that is a very short and very daily activity we can experience that. So the more we practice meditation, the more capacity we can look through and look back in the past or in the future for ourselves or for other people.